Well, good morning, everybody. Most of you are awake. That's great. That's good. Welcome. We're glad that you're here today. If you can do me a favor, please, if you have the device that allows you to use a QR code, we would love for you to either find one of these. And you can scan it with your phone, or you can scan the little one right there, and that will give you kind of a little opportunity for you to share with us that you are here today, and then just an opportunity for us to know that you're here. And if there's anything that you would like to be lifted up in prayer today, you can fill that out, and you can be assured that you will be prayed over today. Few announcements that will probably pop up on the screen while I'm talking that I might not necessarily address, but things that you just need to be aware of and reminded about, things like our social media. Our prayer time on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then also how tithes and offerings work here at Living Hope. A couple of things that I do want to spend some time talking about today is that we are doing a thing that we started as a church last fall. It was called Leaders Night Out. And it's an opportunity for those that are in primary leadership positions where we gather together and we have a meal together, we learn together, and then our individual teams meet together and plan the upcoming events and things of that nature. Groups that are included in this are groups like our mission team, our outreach team, our local board of administration, and then also a couple other teams as well, especially our life group leaders. And if you have not received an email from me about that, that means that you don't have to worry about tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. But if you have received an email from me telling you about the August 7th, that's tomorrow, meeting, then I would love for you to be there. If you haven't replied to me about that, maybe think about it today. Maybe. I mean, I can guarantee that there will be food and that we'll have a good time talking about leadership and things of that nature. But really, this is all about growing our leaders and putting them in good positions to be able to lead our different areas of Living Hope. And so that's why we're doing it. And I believe in our leaders because I believe that as leaders go, if we don't have strong leaders, the church will struggle. And so we want to pour into our leaders in that way. The other thing that we want to remind you about is that gardening season has really taken off over the last couple of weeks. We're starting to see a lot of things in our backyard garden start producing. And so what we would love for you to be aware of, that if you are of the green thumb type and you want to help out with some picking or harvesting, or you want to do some weeding and things like that, you just have like an hour of time that you want to help out with, the garden is a great place for you to do that. And if you have never participated in helping out with our garden, just kind of remind you what we're doing with that is that we have, for the last two summers, produced a garden, and then we give the produce out to our community. We try to give everything away because that's why we're doing it. We're not taking it for ourselves, but we're giving it to our community. And with that in mind, there is going to be on August 16th, that's a week and a half from now, there is going to be an actual group of people that are going to be coming to the church, producing bags and goodie bags of produce and then sending it out to our neighborhood. And if you want to be involved with that, you just need to be here at, did I say six? I meant five. 5 o'clock on the 16th. And then we can go out to our community and especially that direction and help our neighbors. So if you want to help with that, just be here that night. If you have any questions, I would love to answer those. We're going to give out a little bit more information in the week to come, and so that you will be aware of that. Any questions? Great, because I'm not going to take questions from the floor, because that's not how that works. I'm talking. So other things that you need to know about is that we are approaching the fall very quickly. we're less than a month away from really kicking off our fall season. So in September, that's when we're going to be starting our kids programs. That's when our life groups are going to kick back up again. And that's when we are going to be diving into a new study in September. And I need us as a church to be praying about what our involvement is going to be. We have opportunities for our kids, our teens, and our adults to be involved in discipleship. We just need you to make the decision to be a part of it. So be praying about it. I shouldn't even have to say be praying about it. We should just be saying, I'm in, right? That was like a wholehearted I'm in right there. You guys are pumped today, aren't you? Did we have a long weekend that just were a little bit exhausted and tired? Okay, great. We're on a great roll. But the fall's starting soon, and we've got some really neat things planned that I think will take us places spiritually that we haven't necessarily traveled before. And so I'm hoping that you will be involved, not just with our kids, not just with our teens, not just adults, but we as a church will be involved. We have a mission as a church, and that is to reach people for Jesus, right? Amen. And so that's what we need to be doing, and we all need to be involved. We all need to be inviting. We all need to be on mission, and so that's what we need to be all about. So with that in mind, let's take some time to pray this morning. I'm experiencing a little bit of feedback from up in this area, so if our sound guys can work on that, that would be greatly appreciated. Let's pray and ask God's blessing on our time together today. Father God, we come before you today with your goodness, your mercy, your grace, and your truth in mind. We began today acknowledging that you are the creator of heaven and earth. We said it together as a church, and we know it to be true. The world, as we look at it, as we see it, there's no way possible that this is an accident. That this world, the beauty of it, the nature that is around us, there's no way that it's an accident. It is by your creative force, God, and we're thankful for it. But today we ask that that as we look at your grand story, we ask that you would allow our story to speak. We would ask that you would help us to live our lives to glorify you, whether we are very young or we consider ourselves to be too old. God, your story matters, and your work in my life and the life of your church matters. And so we ask that you would allow us, that you would help us to live our lives to glorify you, that we would truly, truly live out of the transformation that you've done in us by the grace of your son, Jesus. Thank you for his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and the life that we get to live in the future, knowing that he has saved us. And so, God, we're so very grateful for that. Father, will you fill this place with your presence today as we hear from you in different ways today? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Historically, humanity has been communicating through story. History has largely been communicated verbally over the course of history, and there's been some changes along the way, as we've talked about previously last week, where it went from verbal communication to print, and then it became movies and television and things like that. But story continues to be the way in which humans communicate with one another. And I asked the question last week, and I continue to ask it because I think it's fun. What is your favorite story? Is it the triumph of good over evil? Is it the sports story where the underdog wins? Is it just an epic adventure like The Lord of the Rings or Prince Caspian and all the stuff that C.S. Lewis wrote and the Chronicles of Narnia? What is your favorite story? I think it could be said that we all love a great story. We love the ins and the outs. We like reading it. We like seeing it. We like experiencing it. And to be quite honest, you and I all have stories. We have stories to share. They're all vastly different. They're all uniquely placed in our lives for a specific reason and a specific purpose. And our story can speak to someone else's. And when we get right down to it, the story of the Bible is a compilation of God's work in history through normal people like you and me. James says in his book, his letter, that Elijah was just a man like you and me. And I still marvel at that. Does that catch anybody else? Just like, nah, not that guy. He was above and beyond. But James says he was just like you and me. Yet his story is full of God's work, God's faithfulness. Over the course of the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at some stories. Last week, I shared a little bit about my story and how God has been active through people, through groups, through accountability. Today, we're going to be looking at the story of a young family and how God has been faithful as they have persevered through many different trials and just life in general, and I'm excited to share their story. In the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at the story of how God called someone to stick to something specifically and how their life changed because of it. And then we're going to be looking at the work of decisions and how God has worked through a person's decisions in their life and what has changed. And I'm excited by just our opportunity to hear from the various stories in the course of this series. So with that in mind, with that kind of backdrop, I want to invite Lee and Carrie Thompson up to the stage, and they're going to come and they're going to be interviewed so that they can share with you their story. Let's welcome them today. You're welcome. So are you guys excited for being in front of people in a different way instead of singing or behind the drums? A little nervous. Let's see, is that one turned on?
He said he's going to talk for probably all of 30 seconds, and I'll be the rest of it. So,
That's awesome. Well, as you guys have heard, we're in this series, and we're talking about our own stories. And we did a number of emails and chatting and talking, and over the course of the last 10 years, as I've gotten to know you guys, I've learned that your guys' story is pretty amazing and how God has been faithful, but then how you guys have persevered in the midst of various trials. And just for your guys' knowledge, as we were emailing back and forth, I asked for just some thoughts and some ideas on what parts of their story they would be willing to share. And there was about 13 to 15 bullet points that they shared of areas of perseverance in their life. And I was like, yes, I got a lot of opportunities to talk about various things today. And I want to begin with talking about the early stages of your guys' relationship, because you guys got married about 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just celebrated our
excellent. 19th anniversary. Is that turned on? And
is it working?
That would be mute. And
okay. Maybe you're meant to talk. Or no. We just celebrated our 19th wedding anniversary. But we are high school sweethearts. Lee and I started dating when I was 16 and he was 17. But we knew each other much longer than that. We actually knew each other from middle school show choir. So,
wow, yeah. Middle school show choir.
I had some really big hair at that point. So the fact that we later ended up together is quite shocking.
Man, pictures would have been great. Yeah. That would have been awesome.
Those are locked away.
Okay, all right. Well, it was, you guys got married 19 years ago, and you shared with me that 6 weeks after you got married, you guys found out that you were pregnant. I don't know how that happens, but you did.
There's apparently a 1 to 3% chance that that can happen. You've
okay.
been taking all the precautions.
All
and
right.
So we knew early on that Ethan was meant to be.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit about Ethan. I know Ethan's not here today. But share the story about everything that kind of just changed in your guys' life at these early 6 weeks and everything that came along after that.
Well, I should say that when we got married, I was 21 and about to be a senior at UNI. Leah just graduated and was starting to teach. And actually, we ended up here at Living Hope right about that time. We were on our honeymoon when Sherry called and checked to see if we could drum. We went to school with Sherry's two oldest kids. And so Lee had drummed at Hillside a couple times in high school. And Sherry was actually my fourth grade Sunday school teacher at Hillside. So we've known Sherry for a very long time.
Awesome.
And so it was just the way that all unfolded was just a God thing from the get-go. But we found out we were having Ethan. We ended up here. And I had to student teach. And actually my due date with Ethan was my last day of student teaching. And so from the moment we found out we were pregnant was like, Lord, please let this all work out because I need to finish student teaching before Ethan arrives. And so that was a challenging time in itself, but we had Ethan and he came 10 days after his due date. And so he was born actually exactly a week after I graduated from college. And so we had Ethan. We had a wonderful summer. We still look back fondly on that summer because it was just the two of us and Ethan. And then we were teachers, so we did all of the child development classes. We knew what typical development looked like, but it's different when you're a parent. And so Ethan was about 5 months old, and we were in for just a routine visit. And our doctor said, you know, he's not really holding his head up. You know, I'm thinking he should maybe do some physical therapy. And so we started doing weekly physical therapy, and then that turned into he wasn't walking, and so we were doing more physical therapy for all the walking, and it was about 18 months or so, and they said, I think there might be more going on. We need to send you down to the University of Iowa. And so we went through all the testing, and they did genetic testing, and they found out that he had a chromosomal anomaly. And that was hard for us because we didn't know what that meant. And the diagnosis that he had is duplicate 15, which means he has a duplication on his 15th chromosome. And it's about a 1 in 2.3 million chance of developing this. So we should really play the lottery. And and so the thing with this diagnosis is that kids with duplicate 15 can have a wide variety of, I guess, issues or successes. Some kids with duplicate 15 can talk, some can't walk, and so we didn't really know. We went into it just whatever happens, happens. So we really forged ahead with therapies, speech therapy, physical therapy. We had therapists come into the house. And so it was a lot. And then eventually, you know, we were knowing that we wanted to have more kids. We did genetic testing to see, like, was this something that we needed to worry about? Is we moved forward with having children. Thank you. And we found out it was just a fluke. And so we continued to do all the therapies. Ethan had the best people in his life, and we had the most wonderful supportive church family here as well as we were going through all of that. And then Ethan was 5 and in kindergarten, and he started having kind of like some tremors in his hands, and then he followed by some, like, kind of where his head would drop, which we later found out from a neurologist were seizures. which we had been told when he was first diagnosed was a possibility. As the years went on, we were doing more medications. His seizures started to become more prevalent, and he was having different types to the point where they're called tonic-clonics, where he can shake for minutes at a time, and it's a really helpless feeling. But I think it was on my birthday 5 or 6 years ago that he had probably about 1,000 in one day. They were just rapid fire one after another. And that was probably the worst day that we had with that. But we've been so blessed because Ethan's been able to be a part of studies at the U. We're so fortunate that that's only 45 minutes away from us. Because he's been a part of studies that have allowed him to be on medications that have really helped to now he's really only having seizures when he's going in and out of sleep. And so just in that way, that's been a real blessing. But, you know, he's 18 now, and we are going through new challenges now that he's an adult, because now, like, this summer we became his guardians because of that transition and just other things that you don't necessarily encounter when you have a typical developing child.
Sure. Hard to imagine 18 years of just a lot of unknown, but then getting to year 18 just adds a whole nother layer of new stuff. You shared with me one time that you had a stack of paperwork that you were filling out for guardianship and future things for Ethan. How difficult were the early days of Ethan's diagnosis for the two of you?
It was very challenging. Lots of internal questions of did we do something wrong? Why? Definitely, I can't speak for Carrie, but definitely challenged my faith in terms of, you know, why is this happening? What did I do? And trying to figure out where do we go from here? You know, newly married, starting jobs, and now we've got this in there. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think being a mom, I had like the feeling of guilt, like, did I do something wrong? Along with all of these other things. And we were so young. I mean, Ethan was young, but we were very young and just trying to figure out life as a couple and then life as a young family. I remember when we had gotten married and gone through our first year, Lee was looking at like major stressors in your life, and we went through like...
I had a coworker who said, I think you've done like 6 or 7 of the life's major stressors all in the first year.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so.
That's great. All the major stressors in one year. Fantastic. That's when you thank that coworker and say, awesome, appreciate that. So along the way, something that that we often talk about is how God had demonstrated his faithfulness through these difficult years. In when we think about Ethan and just his life in general and your life as a family when it comes to Ethan, how was God faithful as you guys were walking through this and persevering? What are some things that God did that you can only say that is only God working?
I think, well, first of all, Ethan getting pregnant with Ethan in the first place was a God thing. You know, we did not plan that. Starting our life and our marriage that way was not exactly what we had planned. But I think also the timing of being here at Living Hope, we were surrounded with people who supported us early on, just being newly married, new parents. But I think of Grandma Kathy. She was awesome and helped us out tremendously. She and Cleo would watch Ethan for us, you know, as we were starting out. And she's such a special place in our heart and our family's heart. But also just coworkers. I think not only did God bless us and show us his faithfulness, but what we've gone through has allowed us to be a blessing to other people. Mm-hmm. And we can see that on this side of it now. But, you know, as teachers, we've been able to help families, coworkers, connect with people being a parent of a special needs child is difficult because it feels very lonely. And not everybody can relate to you or knows how to relate to you or what to say. And so being able to be that support for other people and actually know from experience what that feels like and have gone through that process, we've been able to be a testimony.
It's definitely provided growth in terms of having patience and compassion and understanding and I forgot what I was going to say. There was another piece to it, but I can't remember. I'm going to pass it right back and just not grab it anymore.
Yeah, when you remember, we'll grab that one again. Yeah. Maybe we can get that other one working. So when we think about, hey, there we go. Now you don't have to grab anymore. When we think about just the areas that God is faithful and in our perseverance, I'm sure that there will be more and more opportunities to look for those thumbprints of God in your guys' life, especially as Ethan continues to grow and age and hopefully some of the things that he has had to deal with will lessen with some of the medicines that he's on and all that. I remember the times that Ethan would come into the church. It's been a while since Ethan has come to church, but he would just march his way down to the nursery, and that's where his place was. And I loved just being able to pop in there every now and then and saying hi to him. I'm reminded that Lucas and Ethan are about the same age. They're like in a month and a half to 2 months apart, and so they were in school together. And I remember Lucas telling me that he would occasionally see Ethan during the school day. Let's go ahead and transition to the next area that really was a shocker in your guys' life, and that's with your daughter, Avery. Give us a little bit of backdrop on that, and then we'll ask some more questions about that one. So tell us more about Avery.
Sounds good. So actually about 5 years ago, we had all the kids in for a regular physical, and our family doctor noticed that Avery had a curve in her back, and so he said, I have a doctor I want you to see at the U, and I'd like her to get seen right away, because it was pretty significant. The year before when she was, look at her, the year before she didn't have any curve at all, and then she had a very dramatic curve, and so we ended up at the U, and the doctor was wonderful. He didn't really tell us much, but he said, I want to go ahead and do an MRI, just kind of see what's causing this significant curve. And so within about a week or so of that appointment, she had an MRI, and it actually was a Sunday. We had had church, and I was overworking at school, and Dr. Weinstein called and walked Lee through what he had noticed. And he had noticed it at the appointment, and that's what led him to doing the MRI. But in scoliosis, most curvatures go to the right in typical scoliosis cases. Avery's went to the left, and that was apparently indicative of a disease called Chiari malformation. And Avery's case was significant in that it was severe enough that she needed surgery immediately. Lots of people can live with Chiari and never have to do anything and never even necessarily know that they have it. And so that was a Sunday afternoon, and by Tuesday we were meeting with a neurological surgeon. And again, so fortunate that U of I is only 45 minutes away, because the actual procedure is named after the physician or the neurologist that did Avery surgery. And so he was...
I did not know that.
Yes.
Wow.
He was incredibly knowledgeable. He was straightforward, told us exactly what we needed to do. And he said, we're going to get her in 3 weeks. And that was kind of a whirlwind for us. And it had to have been a God thing, because for people who know me very well, I'm not like go tell everybody what's going on in my life, but I felt like it was such a huge diagnosis, and we were already dealing with so much with Ethan that I took to Facebook and shared what we were going through, and just like the outpouring of love and support was like immediate, and not only our church family but our schools, and I don't know anything else to say besides it was just an incredible blessing in our life. She had surgery on October 18th, so it's actually her 5-year surgiversary, as we refer to them, is coming up here, and 18th. Sorry, our other one was on the 18th. Leading up to that, my coworkers, I've taught at Bowman Woods now for, this will be my 18th year, and Avery's favorite color is purple, and kind of secretly, unbeknownst to us, my whole school put together a Facebook page and asked all the staff and all the families to wear lavender, and they put ribbons on our trees, they put a posting on the Bowman Woods school board, and then everybody took shots of them wearing purple, and they put together this whole page for Avery so that when she got out of surgery, and for us, while we were waiting for her in surgery, could see all of the outpourings of love. But that morning, my whole staff got together and they prayed over Avery, and they all sent a picture of them all dressed in purple and said, "We love you, Avery." And I know in that moment, one of our staff members, after I posted all these things leading up to Avery's surgery, she said, "Carrie, I didn't know that you were such a strong believer." And that kind of set me back a little bit, because I live my life, you know, being kind, generous, but I don't always go around telling everybody, "Hey, I love Jesus." And that has led to some incredible things since Avery's original diagnosis. We have a small group, a prayer group at church now that meets regularly, and we do devotionals at school. And that's been one positive that came out of all of
that. Wow. That's amazing. That's fantastic. Yeah. And then Avery had to have a second surgery.
She did. About 2 years ago.
And that one has been successful, and everything's going well.
Everything's going well so far.
That's fantastic. That's great. How did this diagnosis impact your faith and family? Because many times we look at it, oh, yeah, that definitely impacts our family. But how did this one impact your faith? You already shared a little bit of how it's grown it since then. But was there any moments where you're like, "God, again? Again?"
Yeah, Carrie was doing a much better job talking about how she was feeling about this. If you can't tell, she's really comfortable talking to people. So she was talking a lot, definitely praying a lot. I was not talking as much about it as I should have, and I reached a point, one night where I kind of just broke down and had to shut our door and kind of just lost it with her for a bit. And, did much better after that, talking with God about it and talking with her about it and other people. I know I personally reached a point where I got pretty down for a bit and, had to work my way back up and talk with God about that. So,
yeah. Isn't it amazing that we have a God that can handle our brokenness and our hurt, and he's got the shoulders to be able to manage it, even when it takes us a little bit to get there? Oh. So my question now is, what do you know about God now and his faithfulness that you might not have known then?
I think it's that those times that are our greatest struggles and times of need is opportunity for God to show his purpose in our life. We've been through so many of them now that I can look back and say, that's why.
Okay. That's good. That's good. Lee, anything that you want to add to that?
I would echo that. And I would say it's definitely easy to look to God in times of struggle, but I think because of all these times and the ones you're talking about and then the other ones we had sent, I am much more apt now to, in times of blessing, to also make sure I'm talking to God as opposed to just times of struggle. So,
yeah, good. That's very good. That's probably one of the biggest things that people deal with, is that when things get hard, that's when we go to God. It's when things are good and things aren't necessarily hard that we don't often always go to Him. That's a good thought. Now, Lee, as an adult, you've had to deal with some family scenarios and situations. Not only have you lost some family members over the course of the last couple of years, but you were relatively a young adult when your parents got a divorce and your mom relocated and everything that came along with that. Can you talk us a little bit about how your parents' divorce impacted you, your faith, your view of marriage, God's faithfulness, all of that? I'm just going to lump that all together.
Sure.
For you.
Yeah. We were pretty early on in our marriage when that happened. I think we were trying to place the year. Was it 2 years in?
I think it was when we were going through all of the diagnosis for you.
Yeah, it was all lumped together. My parents have been together, I think, 24 years, is what we did the math. And kind of blindsided me. Didn't really see it coming. Maybe I should have, but didn't see it coming. Yeah, that hit me like a truck when that happened. That was my dad's parents had gotten divorced after they'd been together a long time. And so then seeing my parents get divorced, it definitely made me wonder, you know, is that what we're headed for? Is this what's going to happen? And Carrie can attest, I was kind of worried about that a lot. For quite a while, and then another God thing, probably within a couple years of that was when that Fireproof came out. If you've never seen Fireproof, see Fireproof.
It's a good movie.
I had seen Facing the Giants, and so I was interested in Fireproof too, so we had set a time to actually go see that, and unbeknownst to Carrie, I had gotten hold of the book that he uses in that movie, The Love Dare. And so I was working my way through that because I felt like I definitely needed to grow in my personal faith and, I don't know, belief of marriage, that like this wasn't going to happen to me. And so I actually went through that and, did all that. And that was definitely a big step for me just in my personal faith.
Going through a family divorce like that, especially as you're older, does challenge you in different ways than when it happens to children. And I thank you so much for sharing with us and then also reminding us that that just because it happens in our family doesn't mean we're going to repeat that. That's a very important thought there. So you guys aren't off the hook yet. Okay, I got one more section of conversation. Haven't they just been so encouraging so far this morning? Okay, good. It was a couple of years ago, Carrie, that you started experiencing some other things going on in your own life. Not this time, not with your kids, but with you personally. Tell us a little bit about what was happening there.
So about the time that Avery was diagnosed, actually it was right when she was diagnosed, I started having what I didn't know at the time was partial seizures. And so I would have some moments where I would kind of go white-faced. And the best way I can describe them was kind of like a weird aura. And I would have it for like anywhere from like 30 seconds to a minute or two. And then they would go away. And had those for a long time, and then 2020 came, and obviously COVID, and then the derecho, and as the derecho happened, and school was getting pushed back, and we were doing all of these things, I ended up having two grand mal seizures, besides having these little auras that I didn't know were seizures, it came totally out of the blue. I scaredly very, very much, as well as my family. For those of you that don't know, my parents live with us, and they'd actually moved in with us June of 2018. So they happened to be at the house with us, and my mom is a nurse. And so it happened at what, like maybe 4 in
the
morning?
It's like 4 a.m., and I woke up to a strange sound, and I turned on the light and looked over, and I obviously, with everything we'd had with Ethan, I knew she was having a seizure. So I was not ready to see her having a seizure, but quickly ran downstairs, knocked on their door, and Sharon, her mom, just assumed that it was Ethan and came up the stairs and turned to his room, and I'm in our bedroom, like, waving at her, no. So she came in, and
it would probably be better to tell this story because I actually don't remember any of it because when you go and have a seizure, from the way it's been told to me, your brain goes through a major stress, and so a way for it to heal itself is for it to basically go into shutdown mode. So a lot of the things that I know were told to me because I don't remember much except Lee telling me I had to get dressed and our bedroom being full of firefighters. And then I rode in an ambulance, but I don't remember that. And I went through a lot of tests, and they sent me home that morning.
Yeah, they just assumed it was a one-off thing, lots of stress, being a teacher in COVID, the derecho, just all that different stuff, family stressors, and thought it was just a one-time thing. And then about 12 hours later at 4 p.m., she had another one. So then we went back, and I basically said, we're not leaving until you give us something or we figure this out, so...
Mm-hmm. So since then, I've been on seizure medication, and they've come to realize that a lot of it's probably tied to stress, maybe some hormonal things, but mostly stress.
Okay. So. Wow. And I remember Lee giving me a call telling me that you had a seizure, and then I remember him calling me again, telling me what was happening again. So, Lee, thank you for keeping me in the loop. That's something, just a quick little thing for you. That I don't have like a window into your world unless you call me and let me know what's going on. So thank you for doing that. This is a PSA for everybody else. Okay, if there's something going on, you got to give me a call. But I remember just the church rallying around you guys and praying, and I remember just the impact that had. When it comes to all of these things. What were some, and this one specifically, what did you do to stabilize your faith at this stage? Because you'd already dealt with a lot of different things with Ethan. You already dealt with a lot of things with Avery, and all of these things are part of your story. But when it comes to like the underlying thing, the thing that nobody else sees, that you did with the Lord, what were some of those things that you did to help stabilize you? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So I think probably the biggest thing for me was that my time in prayer with the Lord changed. I would pray every day, but now still I find myself praying throughout the day as I'm getting ready, as I'm driving to work, you know, as I'm making supper or doing anything. It's my relationship with him has changed. He's my Heavenly Father, but he's also my best friend. And so throughout my day, I'm asking him for advice, talking to him about the things on my heart, you know, burdens or praises. And, that lonely feeling that I had as an early mom with a child with special needs, I don't have that feeling because I know he's with me all the time.
Okay. Yeah. Lee, anything for you?
The initial shock of, I'll just say that specific situation, her having the seizure, I mean, definitely caught me off guard. But I think in light of all the other things we'd gone through after the initial shock, I kind of found myself going, all right, so how are we going to use this one, God? And so not that any struggle is easy or you're excited for it, but I think now we kind of look at some of those things and go, okay, so there's a reason here. What? We don't maybe get to know that right now, but somewhere we'll figure it out. So,
mm-hmm.
And I think too, like God might not be using the story to teach us something, but using our story to help somebody else. And we've seen that, like I said, with the families that we've been able to help, or coworkers that have children with special needs, or when Avery got diagnosed with Chiari, it was like several people that we knew or had connections to, people we knew, were diagnosed with Chiari. So one of our kids is very good friends. Their niece got diagnosed and had to have surgery. And then a former coworker, her husband, got diagnosed later on in life, and he had surgery about a year and a half. Well, actually, it was right around the same time as Avery, so about 2 years ago. And so just being able to share our experiences and then knowing what we've gone through.
Right, right. And that makes a huge difference when you get to share your story of God's faithfulness in another family's life, and they get to see that in you. That's amazing. That's really amazing. Thank you so very much for being vulnerable and sharing your story with us. Can we give them a round of applause and thank them for that? Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Folks, I just wanted to kind of leave off with these thoughts. You and I all have a story to share. Our story may not be or anything close to Lee and Carrie's story. Some of our stories might be drastically different. Some of us might have stories that we would consider to be quite boring. But it's not. Your story is the story of God working in your life. And it has the power to allow God to work to grow others. Your story does. My encouragement to you is to know your story. What are the thumbprints of God's work in your life that you need to share? Maybe it's God working through your job, through your work, through a struggle, a difficulty. Maybe it's just God's faithfulness in guiding you. I don't know. I don't know what the portion of the story that God can use to change the life of someone else, but I know it's possible. Because we have stories of God changing the life of people throughout history, and it's evidenced in the Bible. Think about Joseph for just a second. Joseph in the Old Testament. This guy endured and persevered through numerous difficulties and trials. He even told his brothers after they had sold him into slavery and they went through so much other stuff and then went into being second command to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, what you meant to do to harm me, God meant to do for good. Once again, Chopper's translation. But the idea is that sometimes the harm that others intend, God can use for good. So what is it about your story that you need to think about and that you need to prepare yourself to share? That's my biggest encouragement for us throughout this four-week series, is that you look at your story and how God has used your story to encourage others and hopefully share Jesus along the way. That's what I want to see. Because I think there's going to be opportunities. I think people are interested in stories just like they've always been of God working in your life. But you need to be able to communicate your story. So that's why we're doing this. That's why we're talking through these things. That's why we're kind of preparing ourselves for this. Because I think that the more that we can share who we are with others around us, the greater the glory God gets. Amen? Amen. Let me pray, and then our worship team's going to come up and close us in our final song. Father God, we're grateful for the truth of your word and the perseverance that you provide and the faithfulness that you give. God, you are so good, and you have been faithful in not only our lives, but you've been faithful in the life of Lee and Carrie and their family. And God, I am just so thankful that they consider you to not only be their Lord and Savior, but their best friend, and how that has impacted people around them, and how that has impacted lives around them. Father, help us to know our story of how you are working and how you are guiding. And I realize, God, we could go for weeks in this series telling each other our story. But encourage us to not just look for a stage in Sunday morning, but encourage us to look for a stage and other avenues to be able to share our story with other people. Thank you, God, for all that you do, for your grace and your mercy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for being at worship this morning. I want to invite you to stand, and we'll close our time together with singing.